Do you like the idea of a 25-hour work week where you're still able to hit your income goals? That is what we are going to explore on this episode of Breakthrough Success. We are back on another episode. I'm Mark Gabberti, the podcasting coach, bringing you all these episodes so you can learn how to achieve your breakthroughs. And our guest teaches people how they can have that 25-hour work week. She's been helping visionary service professionals bring their brands, business models, and marketing systems into alignment with their next stage of growth. So our guest who joins us is none other than Holly Chantal. Holly, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm pretty stoked to be here.
Holly, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success. And that 25-hour work week is something so many people want to have. So how do you suggest we get to the point of a 25-hour work week without feeling like we have to sacrifice like the growth of our business?
Yeah, so that 25-hour work week really opens you up to having the freedom that you probably started your business for in the first place, right? And getting there is it's a exercise in discipline and planning. And really it's about getting very, very clear on what is the message and the passion that you're really passionate about putting out there, and planning your time accordingly to make sure that you're taking the steps that you need to bring that vision to life for your business. So if you are a content creator or a coach, what that looks like is when you're creating your marketing is planning out ahead of time what it is that you're going to be sharing, and then finding those peak times during your day that you are most prolific, creative, like whenever that energy is flowing best for you, is really leveraging that. And then taking the technical aspects of what you do and slotting that for a time that, you know, maybe you don't want to go out and surf and, you know, do travel and do the fun things during your day. So sometimes it looks like having a, you know, big chunk of time every day. And sometimes it looks like breaking that up throughout the day, depending on what your lifestyle looks like.
And I mean, you will learn, you know, how to have this 25-hour work week, but it is important, as Holly mentions, it's different for each person. Some people like to, you know, break up their day really deep. Other people like to just have big chunks of time. It definitely depends on you as the person. But one big theme is figuring out what are your key activities that give you the most income, give you the most results, and then doing those things. So how do we figure out what are the few things that really move the ball forward the most?
So the way that I do it with my clients is we actually sit down in every quarter and we look at all the aspects of their business, from how they've been marketing themselves. So what are the actions they've been taking? What are the results that those actions are bringing in? Whether those results be measured in visitors, leads, or clients. And from there, you can really identify, you know, what's working for you and what's not. So we might look at your traffic. We look at your the client results that you're creating. We look at really just every activity that you're doing in your business that is measurable, and assessing what's working, what's not working, what can be improved. And when you do that and you start really looking at your numbers and how you're operating your business, there's a lot of fat you can trim. I feel like we do a lot of things in our business that don't yield a lot of results because we see other people doing them and feel like that's what we quote unquote should be doing as well. And when you really start to understand what your strengths are and focus your attention on those things and really simplify the activities in your business, you get a much better return.
And Holly brings up such a great point where you want to focus on some of the numbers, not all the numbers, but like the key things like conversion rates. Like, how is your content converting? Are you getting clients from this piece of content? If yes, focus on that. If you're not getting clients, if you're not getting course sales in this other area, that's an area you should not be focusing on as much. So it is important to really look at your numbers to see what's working the most and have your actions line up with those numbers. Granted, there are like certain things that they're necessary for you to do, but they don't like social media posting. It's one of those things that it builds trust. It's something you got to be doing, but it's, you know, it's hard to quantify that. It's one of those, like in the Pareto principle, that would be more like 80% of your work to get 20% of your results. So how do we, like with the other tasks in our day, address those and not give them too much time?
Yeah. So actually I want to kind of piggyback on what you were saying, and that sometimes it's not just measuring the results of what you're doing, it's how you're doing it. So if you're finding that creating your social media posts is taking you a long time, or writing a blog post or shooting a video, and you're finding that as you're creating this content for your marketing, it's just taking loads of time. Like there's no way you could do it in 25 hours a week because you have so much to create in such little time. Sometimes there are shifts in the way that you're creating it, or the process that you're taking, like very functionally, like the fact that I remember when I first started, I did not have a set, if you will, for video. And video marketing at the time was like just up and coming as a big thing. So I would literally have to set up a background in my kitchen in front of a bay window that only had sun for about 1 to 2 hours a day. And it took a lot of time. Wow. To be able to shoot those videos. And if you didn't get it in the first couple takes, you had to wait till the next day and hope it was sunny in order for you to get them. So obviously that's not an ideal situation. And as soon as I could, I got, you know, studio lights, and, you know, set up a set where I could just get in, shoot the video, get out. Didn't matter what time of day it was. So there's like little things like that, that the more convenient you can make things for yourself, the easier it will be to do. And that's also one of the things we track is, okay, how much time are these things taking you? You know, is there an easier way? Sometimes, you know, when creating content, it could be something as simple as the way you're outlining your content. I create templates with my clients for, you know, how to create that story arc in a piece of content really quickly and easily so that they can just riff off of it if they're speaking, or it takes a lot less time to write. And what that does is it just helps them be more prolific. So yeah, sometimes you're right. Like there's going to be things you have to do, and how can we make them suck less?
And I know that for Holly's example, definitely sounds extreme. I mean, I've never had, you know, like you had to be in the perfect 1 to 2 hour window, have all the lighting right, and hope it's a sunny day. But for like, you know, we all have those types of scenarios. Like I feel like a lot of people can relate to how much time we spend in our inboxes. And my rule is to just, you know, make us email like 3 sentences or less. That's my rule. Because if you're writing paragraphs just for one email and you do that for every email, and that's going to eat up so much time. So it's not just about, you know, like doing the right things, but it's about doing the right things with like the most effective way and cutting down time so that you have more time to focus on other parts of your business.
Exactly. My clients know that if they write me a really long email, I'm probably only going to respond to that first line. If you have a lot of that question to ask me, ask them in separate emails.
I mean, that just goes to, you know, there's a limit to how much information we can consume. There's a limit to how much, you know, energy we have in a given day. And I believe in, you know, breaking limits. I believe in going after bigger goals and what you build possible for yourself. But there is this idea of, you know, there are limits to our energy, to our time. And part of it is just using that time the most effectively and figuring out what best works. So how can we double down on the things that are working rather than just continue to spread time evenly between things that are working and things that are not working?
That just really comes down to planning and knowing kind of what I was saying in the beginning, like knowing about, you know, what the activities you're going to do and what types of energy that they require. Because throughout your day, many of you will probably already be aware of this, But if you're not, start paying attention to how you feel when you first wake up, how you feel like late morning. And when I say how you feel, I mean like what sparks your interest, like what type of thinking are you doing? After lunch, like, is that a productive time or do you really want to take a nap? And then some people, you know, they don't even really come alive until evening. For me, you know, at about 4 o'clock, don't ask me to think after that. I'm an early riser. when you start to pay attention to your own rhythms and energy and how that works for you, you can really start leveraging that to what types of activities you're going to do during those times. So I know in order for me to be creative, for example, if I'm writing copy or you know, mapping out a webinar, I need to have a good 2 hour block in order to just, it doesn't always take me 2 hours to do it, but I need to know that I have the space on either end that I'm not going to get interrupted. Where on the other hand, coding and setting up funnels and doing, you know, setting up technical systems for me just happens. Like it doesn't require a lot of creativity or thinking. I just kind of do it. So I know that those are the kinds of things that I can do, in between clients or, you know, if my kids are sick and they're home, that's the kind of stuff I do. And I wait till they're better in order to do, the more creative thinking. So, you know, what I teach with my clients is really a lot of self-awareness and, becoming really mindful in how you're structuring the day, what activities you're doing, and just kind of getting into sync with your own rhythm and just becoming aware of, you know, again, what works for you, what doesn't work for you, and what can be improved. And you start to get better at it with practice.
And a really great point Holly mentions, I know she mentioned this earlier before, this idea that we have different times of day that work better for us to do certain things. So I like to write in the morning. I like to do videos in the afternoon. I like to do podcast interviews in the evening. And when you do figure out those things about yourself, I mean, instead of trying to fit a circle into a square hole, just align your days so that it's not like I do interviews every evening, but on the days that I am doing interviews, most of those interviews do take place in the evening. So it is very important to find that rhythm, as Holly mentions, and then it's easier for you to be more productive, which allows you to then have an easier time just only working 25 hours each week. Now, I know this may sound like a strange question, but given, like, you know, 25-hour work week and, you know, for some people, work being a big part of their identity, what are we doing for the hours that we're not working? Because I feel like people will be like, yay, 25 hours, I have so much more time to do stuff. But you don't want to get super bored either and be like, I just want to go back to work again. So what do we do during those off times?
So, I mean, if work is your passion and you want to work more than 25 hours, that's totally up to you. When I started my business, I had a full-time job and I was growing my business in 25 hours a week. When I grew to the point where I could leave that job, I was working 40 to 60 hours a week because my business was my identity. It was what I loved. And, you know, literally someone asked me, what's your hobby? Say, my business. Like, that's all I want to do is just nerd out about marketing and coaching. And, I just love what I do. And I still do. Now I have kids. So working 40 to 60 hours a week means sacrificing time with them. So that's where I spend the rest of my time. Other people, they might, you know, have a more travel-based business where maybe they're visiting different countries, and those chunks of time where they're not working, they're exploring, they're going to restaurants, they're, you know, going to the beach and doing all the things that the lifestyle allows them to do. For others, they might have other passions and passion projects that they want to work on. Maybe they volunteer, maybe they, you know, have meetups or other things that are around a certain interest that they want to be able to go to. I find that most people that want a 25-hour work week, they have a reason for wanting a 25-hour work week, which kind of fills in that gap.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, a lot of people, when it's like, I want to ditch my job, because that's what I talk about on my other show. A lot of it is like, I want to spend more time with my kids. I want to be more present in my family. And I mean, I do. I mean, Holly brings up a great point. I feel like if you are thinking 25 hours a week for your work week, I feel like you already have a good reason. Really great point. But when you are a business owner, you essentially become your own boss. So you're able to set your hours, you're able to decide if I go overtime at this point or if I spend more time with kids. And like, how do you maintain that dynamic where you're doing all the time for your business, letting it grow, and doing all the work you love, but you're also spending time with your kids and not letting one go too much into the other?
Yeah. So I have very clear boundaries around work time versus home time. So for me, what that looks like is I don't work on the weekends. I stop checking email at about 2:30, unless I have some downtime and, you know, while I'm cooking dinner, someone messages me on Facebook. Sure. I'll have a conversation. but for the most part, it's really like I turn off business thinking at about 2:30 when I go pick up the kids. And for me, it's important to have those clear boundaries, because when I didn't, I found that when I was working in my business, I was thinking about my kids. And when I was with my kids, yeah, I was thinking about my business, and I wasn't really present for either of them. So again, mindfulness, paying attention to where your energy is at that time, and setting really clear boundaries for yourself. And it might seem like, how could you do that? Like, for instance, clients, like sometimes we get into a mindset where we feel like we need to respond immediately to our clients all the time. And the reality is, if you set the expectations of what your boundaries are and expect them to be respected, it isn't a problem. And my clients know that if they email me on a Friday afternoon, they're not going to hear back until Monday. And that's, you know, that's just a function of communication. And really, it's setting an example for them, because that's the kind of lifestyle they want to create as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, that also taps on the difference between being in demand, where you know, you're only going to get response for a limited amount of time, versus on demand, where if you get a response from like 1 a.m. for a client, you're responding at 1:02. So there is this boundary structure you do have to develop, and clients will respect you more for it and your time as well.
I remember when I first started and I had clients calling me at like 10 or 11 at night because their website was down. I mean, like, I'm sorry, but one, no one is going to your website at this time of night. And two, I'm sleeping.
Now, I love you bring up phones, because that's where I wanted to go with this next. So 2:30, you pick up your kids, like that's the time when you're done. And I know you said that, you know, if you have some downtime, you use that time to work. And one of the great things and bad things about our phones, we have so many options. So I was on LinkedIn, I came across an article pretty much saying how laptops and phones, it's no longer 9 to 5. It's like people have their offices with them 24/7. So how do you continue to stay off of the work when, you know, all you have to do is turn on your phone and see like a social media icon or your inbox icon? How do you not get tempted by those technology cues to go back to work?
Oh man, that's a good question, because it's so tempting. So for me, it's not so much a problem. Like I can not check my email and be okay with that. So I'll tell you what I did with my husband, because he had a real problem with this. If his phone went off, he would have an anxiety attack that he, like, if he did not go and read the message or find out what was going on, he would be anxious for the rest of the night, and it ruined the night. So what we did with him was, there's ways to set up like schedules on your phone so that you don't get notifications during certain hours of the day. So he, when he leaves work, his phone does not vibrate anymore. he does not, it's not that he has to put it on do not disturb so like his friends can't message him. But he doesn't get notifications from work anymore. And now that I think about it, I think he might've turned the buzzing off on his email and his messages while he's at work too, because it causes him so much anxiety. So again, there's like little hacks like that where you can bend technology to your will and set your boundaries with your phone so that you're not feeling that temptation.
Yeah, I mean that's really that's really a great point. If you remove the cue, it's harder for you to do the habit. And I know some people may be saying like, "Oh, he doesn't look at his thing, anxiety." Like, but that's I feel like that's everyone to a different level. Like when you see here a thing or you see something pop up on the top right of your computer saying you got a new message, like that's just something like a habit that we just got to know what that email is or we got to know what that notification is. So really taking that stuff out of the picture. Rather than saying, let me develop willpower and discipline so that when I hear the bing noise, I just don't acknowledge it and just take it out of the equation and you're fine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for people who want to learn more about you, because I feel like this 25-hour work week concept is awesome. And if you want to really hone in on that, Holly's definitely the person you want to learn more about. I mean, you've already gotten a lot from this episode. So where can we go to learn more about your work and journey?
So my website is just hollychantel.com. And I have this neat quiz that you can take that's at a different URL, which I'll give you in a second. So the people that I work with, our goal is to, yes, like carve our time down to 25 hours a week, while also boosting our income up to about $20,000 a month. So I work with businesses that, you know, have reached a ceiling in either the amount of time they can put in or the amount of money they're making, and then how do we align that with their goals? So if that's you and you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I balance that equation in my favor? There's a quiz at growthblindspot.com that'll tell you where the problem lies. So why the marketing isn't working, or why, you don't have enough time in the day, or why you're doing all the things and not getting results. And that'll tell you like what that blind spot is. And that's usually our starting point when we're working together.
All those links will be in the show notes. If you guys want to check out all the stuff, take the quiz and follow Holly and her work. But once again, thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Success. It was such a pleasure having you here today.
Thank you for having me. This was awesome.